We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorling U.
Welcome in. Week four college football underway. Very exciting. Another horrific slate after last week. You know, you get into this part of the doldrums of college football, the week three, the week four, kind of the end of the non-conference slate for a lot of teams. You start seeing some of these shittier matchups. That's fine. Doesn't scare me away. Last week, I'll be honest, got slaughtered. Everything I gave out on the pod seemed to be a loser, except for the stuff I said I wouldn't bet. Look at this. Michigan, -47.5. We're cooking. We're great. They dominate UConn 59-0 in Ann Arbor in the Big House. That's a winner. I told you Georgia or pass. The Georgia at USC, because maybe they're one of one. What do they do? USC being South Carolina, of course. What do? They go drop a bomb on the Gamecocks. -24.5 covers easily. I didn't play it, so I can't count it. BYU at Oregon. That game kicked off. You knew you lost. I got another one on here that's similar to that. Penn State at Auburn. I gave you Auburn or pass. That was wrong. I didn't end up putting it as an official play, so I can't count it, but I'm 1-1. Michigan State at Washington. I gave you Washington or pass. I didn't play it because I was emotionally invested, but I did watch my team get assassinated at Husky Stadium in Seattle. That was a never a loser. That's another one. Ball kicked off. I knew I was on the wrong side as a fan, not as a bettor, but Washington or pass was the play there. I gave that out. That's an easy winner. Nevada at Iowa. Look, things got kind of screwy in this game. Two separate lightning delays screw up the flow of anything happening. Nevada's got a decent drive going. Lightning delay. Come back out. Continue the drive. Maybe 3 minutes of game time pass. Lightning delay. By the time they actually got this thing finished, it's 1 a.m. local time. It just, there's no way you can cap for that. Nevada loses 27-0. Probably could have gotten at least three, maybe a touchdown on the board, if not for the lightning delay screwing them all up. They already had to go against Iowa's defense. Iowa covers the 23.5 with a 27-0 win. UTSA, Texas. Dude, if I could handicap for quarterbacks getting killed, I would. It happened with Army. It happened with UTSA. You just, sometimes you get screwed. You can't handicap for that. Army 2 weeks ago, their best passing QB, Bradford, I believe, the name escapes me currently, dude dies. UTSA at Texas, Frank Harris comes out of the game. Same situation, too. UTSA up. Sir, 17-17. Things are good. Texas, bang, just rifles it off. I mean, you look at what went down on this board, and you really start to feel bad for me. Fresno State at USC, Fresno's covering. Can't handle the late attack, can't get back on the board, couple turnovers, and you end up with USC covering rather easily. So I end up with what I gave out on the pod, a very disgusting 1-4. But like a phoenix, I will rise from the ashes. I will come back with a vengeance this week, significantly paring back the number of actual plays I have five to offer. It's time to be disciplined. It's time to be very, very disciplined in what we're doing here. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of what I'm going to be, is we're going to cut down the number of things that we're doing, and we're just going to try to really lock in on a few games that I have a very good feeling about, that I feel like I have a nice edge at, that I've done the work on, where I feel like you have an advantage. And we're going to pass on some of the others. I'll tell you what I feel on some of the biggest games of the week. But some of these, I'm not interested in betting, and so I'm not going to press too hard. I did want to address something college football kind of big picture. I've been asked, you know, obviously I'm producer Cap'n Jay Hood. I engage in the Twitch chat on that show reasonably often. I've been asked a couple times if I would give my opinion on what's going on with the college football playoff and its expansion to 12 teams. I wanted to do that a couple weeks ago. I got kind of busy. I didn't have the chance to kind of give the long-form thoughts. So I thought, even though we're a couple weeks late, I'll offer what I'm feeling here. The 12 teams, whatever. I was a four-team elitist guy. I liked the idea of it staying at four. Typically, there's only two or three teams that actually can win anyway. The fourth team generally gets blown out. You think of Washington, you think of Michigan State, you think of Notre Dame, you even think of Clemson once, Ohio State once. I mean, it just typically there's only two or three teams that actually have a shot, and the fourth is in there to get body bagged. So when I think you go to 12, one, you got to do this bullshit with the bye weeks, which I never like. Two, and this is probably the bigger concern, is the matchups are not going to be quality football. Like the 3 seed versus the 12 seed, you're going to see 24 to 28 point favorites in these games. It's just the way it's going to happen. It's not going to be March Madness because the haves of college football will beat down on the have-nots. The have-nots cannot compete. And the haves of college football right now are basically Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. It's about it. There aren't really haves outside of those three. I understand that can be damaging for the way that you follow the sport. Totally makes sense to me. My point is, you're going to see bad football. Now, nothing we can do about it. No point in talking about why I thought four was better because we're at 12 now. It is what it is. Here's what I want to do. Why stop at 12? You're already deciding to get your toes wet, get in the pool. All right. You want to test the waters? Why don't you get in the deep end? Make it 16. Make it 16, get rid of the bye weeks, make things very easy on yourself. Here's the deal. You want to make the playoff, be in a Power 5 conference, or be one of the higher ranked at large. But here's what you got to do. You got to play a Power 5 team in the non-conference. None of this garbage where Michigan gets to duck UCLA, where Michigan gets to duck Virginia Tech, where Michigan just cancels these home-and-home matchups. None of this stuff where Michigan State's got Alabama scheduled for a home-and-home, but Saban pulls the plug at the last second because he doesn't want the Crimson Tide going up into winter weather. None of that. None of this, we don't want to travel north. None of this ducking your Power 5 opponents. No more scheduling cupcakes. Look, you want to take on some school from East Texas because they can't have indoor plumbing and you want to pay them $1 million to come and get body bagged? Do it. All for it. But you also have to schedule at least one Power 5 team. You want to be in the playoff, you got to play a Power 5 in the non-con. No more of the cupcake stuff. Two, nobody gets 8 home games. 7 max, probably 6 preferably. Three, you gotta lengthen the conference schedule. No more SEC playing 7 conference games. Make it 10. Let's go. You get 2 non-conference. Play a Power 5 and a cupcake, and then let's go. Play 10 conference games. Because I'm telling you, if you get to 16 and you've got 8-4 LSU getting in, it's going to look a whole lot better if those 4 losses come in the SEC East and whatever Power 5 they played in the non-con. You're going to be a lot more palatable than if you get 8-4 LSU and they played Mercer and Fordham and Eastern Michigan and all of them were at home, and then they get the SEC East and they lose 4 games. They're 5-4 or they're 3-4 in conference or 4-4 in conference, but they're a playoff team because they got cupcakes at the front and they're a name brand and they're scheduled in the top 16. This is the way I feel like it should be done. Spread that sucker out. The other thing, and this is the big positive of the playoff expansion, it's clear to me why the football board chose now to do it. They wanted to nip conference realignment in the bud. Oregon watches USC and UCLA walk to the Big Ten. Oregon's thinking, how the hell are we ever going to make the college football playoff in this joke Pac-12? The College Football Playoff Committee Board says, here's how. We are going to expand to 12, and the Power 5 champions get in automatically. The highest ranked, which will be the Power 5, the highest ranked conference champions get in automatically. Oh, there's your path. Stay in the Pac-12. Because UCLA and USC made your life easier. You're not going to play them every other year anymore. Stay in the Pac-12. All you got to do is win the conference. You could lose 2 games. You could lose 3 games, maybe, if you keep seeing that highest ranked pool. And you're in. The path is there. They've created a path, so no longer will these teams like Oklahoma and Texas, who want to be in the SEC so they have an easier path, like USC, UCLA, who want to be in the Big Ten so that they have a more defined path. No more.
They're all going to stay put. They nipped conference realignment in the bud, and I think it's great. But that's where I'm telling you, my opinion is, if you want to dip your toes in the pool, you want to find out the temperature of the water, get in the deep end. 16 teams. Let's go all in. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. We're done. You moved it to 12. Conversation's over. No more of this four's better. No more of this, well, don't go too far. Go to six. No more of this, I like eight. You went to 12. It's too late now. Get rid of the buys. Set some rules for scheduling. Make sure everybody's on an equal playing field and get me 16. That's where I'm at. Look, I preferred four. I'd have gone back to the BCS. But this is where we're living. 12 teams in a playoff. Go to 16. Make it real. Let's go. And enough, like, I know the obvious argument is these kids, they don't play enough games. They can't do this. They can't handle it. Their bodies can't handle it. Enough. Enough. NIL's there. These guys are going to be getting paid soon. We're doing semi-pro football. They go from 9 games in high school to 12 games in college, 14 if you go far enough, to 18 in the NFL, 17, 18 in the NFL. It's not about the health. Stop acting like you care about the players. You don't. This is all about money. That's all it is. It's all it's ever been. You don't care about the players. So stop putting anything on that. Period. All right. Got that off my chest. Now I want to get into the board. Going to try to move kind of fast-paced here, get through some of the bigger games. I want to start with something that's not going to be an official play. But on Thursday night, you've got West Virginia going on the road to Virginia Tech. Two very interesting games here. West Virginia, a 2.5-point favorite on the road to Virginia Tech. And you've got Coastal Carolina, a 2-point favorite on the road to Georgia State. I have an opinion on both of these games. I'm not going to make them an official play, but I think there's a way you can have a little fun with this. The first is West Virginia minus 2 at 2.5 at Virginia Tech. Look, we know about West Virginia. They stink. The pick game, it was fun. It was really cool. That team is not any good. They've gotten body bagged twice. You're asking them to go on the road to Lane Stadium, one of the most electric environments in college football. Enter Sandman, insane crowd. You feel like you've seen Virginia Tech. That's a team that's terrible, right? They lost to Old Dominion. I gave you that on the pod. Why is this only a 2.5? It makes you look funny at it, doesn't it? Shouldn't West Virginia be bigger than this? Big 12 team, not great, but middle of the pack. Virginia Tech, the cellar dwellers of the ACC. And you wonder, why is this only a 2.5? And then you go to the next game, Coastal Carolina, laying 2 on the road at Georgia State. Coastal Carolina, a team that people were high on preseason, thought could be one of those group of 5 playoff challengers if they go undefeated. Georgia State, currently 0-3. Coastal going to Statesboro, 2-point favorite. That's it? That's it. Two things I look at very funny there. Because I feel like it's the books begging you to take Coastal. It's the books begging you to take West Virginia. They're handing it to you. Like they're running a charity. Newsflash, they ain't running a charity. So if I want to have a little fun on a Thursday night, two of the weaker games, I know you're going to be locked in, Steelers, Browns. I'm going to pile Virginia Tech money line and Georgia State money line in a parlay because I think these look odd, especially when you look at the Coastal Carolina, Georgia State game, the money differential. All of the money is on Georgia State. All of the bets are on Coastal Carolina. Smart people are on the side of Georgia State. That ain't Bob your plumber that's putting all of his money on Georgia State there. That's somebody who has the ability to influence what's happening here. And that's why you're seeing that line just sit right there at 2. We know Coastal is much, much better. Why is that line just sitting there right at 2? Something's up. It smells to me. So I'm not going to make it an official play, but if you want to have a little fun on Thursday night, I'd pack those two money lines into a parlay, Virginia Tech and Georgia State. I want to start with Maryland at Michigan, the Big Ten opener for Michigan. It's minus 17 for the Wolverines right now. This game, I'm going to be honest, it's Michigan or pass. The way I look at Michigan right now is you don't really know who they are. You've seen the defense be dominant. You've seen the offense be really kind of opened up, downfield, vertical, a different style. They run the ball. The offensive line looks great, all of these things. And then you look at the quality of the opponent. Colorado State's one of the worst teams in the country. Hawaii's one of the worst teams in the country. UConn's one of the worst teams in the country. They're playing high schools. So while they're among the highest scoring offenses, while they have among the highest winning differentials per game, they are playing high schools. Makes it kind of simple for me to just like, look, Michigan might be one of those two or three teams that we're not talking about outside of Georgia and Alabama, outside of Ohio State, that maybe they're just the cream of the Big Ten. They're better than everybody. They're going to go to the playoff. They're going to have a chance. J.J. McCarthy might win the Heisman. He's one of the most talented players in America. They might be that team. They might be that team. I think it's Michigan or pass. If you got to have action on this, Michigan might bomb Maryland. In Ann Arbor, at the Big House, Big Ten opener, going to be a zoo. I just am not interested in playing this game because I think when you look at the quality of the opponent, we don't know enough about what Michigan is. Next one I want to talk about, I do have a play on. Clemson at Wake Forest. Wake is a 7-point dog at home. I think it's a very easy look to go Clemson's offense, terrible. DJ Uiagalelei, he hasn't been good. You know, they've lost both coordinators. It feels a little like a rebuilding year. Yes, they'll be among the best in the ACC. Yes, they might make the playoff. Dabo's still around. They still recruit at an insanely high level. The defense is electric. The defensive tackles, I think they have three NFL players on their D-line. But the offense being so bad, and then Wake Forest's offense, you know, really improved with Sam Hartman at quarterback, the slow mesh that they run. But here's the key, slow mesh. Like, these guys in the backfield meet up, shake hands, ask how the day has been, you know, talk about what they're getting for dinner, and then they hand the ball off or pull the ball back. That's what we're kind of looking at when it comes to the Wake Forest offense. I worry about that style when you're going up against Clemson's D-line and they're in your backfield in half a second. They're going to make you read that a lot quicker than you want to. And that makes me worry about Wake Forest's ability to score in this game. The other thing, as bad as Clemson's offense is, we are talking about a Wake Forest team that had to survive a 2-point conversion to beat Liberty, sans Malik Willis, at home. This Wake Forest defense is the same as last year's. It ain't good. I really, really like Clemson -7 here. I think they're undervalued. I haven't liked them all season, but I think this is a spot where you have a matchup problem. Clemson's D-line against the slow mesh offense of Wake Forest, where Clemson just kind of makes this non-competitive. I mean, it might finish uninteresting to watch, 21-0, 21-3, 21-7, but I think Clemson gets in position where they're going to be able to cover the touchdown because they're going to make the backfield and that slow mesh where things can get dicey. Like the mesh offense, lots of fumbles, lots of potential turnovers. Things can get really messy, especially when you have NFL D linemen bearing down on you. This is a spot where I really like Clemson. TCU at SMU, I think, is one of the more interesting games of the week. And I actually think this is one where you go with Southern Methodist or pass, because it's, again, it's one of those lines that kind of smells. TCU, I told you, one of the better teams in the Big 12. People aren't talking about them. Sleeper, have a chance to win the conference. They've started off really nicely. SMU +2 at home. I just kind of look at the Mustangs, close my eyes, and go, hey, that line ain't right. I feel weird with TCU sitting there at 2 points as a favorite. I don't love it. I'm all in. I'm going to go SMU. I'm not going to play it. I actually think it's a pass, but I do think if you are looking at this, if you're going to watch that game, you want a little scratch. It's SMU or pass. Minnesota at Michigan State. Minnesota, 3-point road favorite. East Lansing's a tough place to go for the Big Ten opener. Minnesota, though, it's PJ Fleck's return. His first debut as a head coach happened at Spartan Stadium in Western Michigan in 2013. He makes the trip back to where it all began now with Minnesota. Tanner Morgan, a really kind of high-powered offense, high-powered passing attack. My issue is I wonder if this is an overreaction to what we saw in Seattle. Now, I didn't expect Michigan State to get embarrassed the way that they did in Seattle. That pass defense may be as bad as it was a year ago when it was the worst in the country. But I wonder if, look, this game should have been Michigan State minus 2.5, probably, if last week doesn't happen. Now it's all the way out to plus 3. You're not going to be able to run the ball on Michigan State if you're Minnesota. It's the one strength that the Spartans have on defense. I think you saw some improvement in that Washington game from Peyton Thorne, the quarterback for the Spartans. I worry here that people are going to buy in on how bad Michigan State's defense looked, and you're right to do so. It looked horrible. But I worry here people are going to buy in on that, and the right side is actually the Spartans. I'm staying away from it because I'm too emotionally invested. I don't like it, but I think it's Spartans are past there. Florida at Tennessee. Again, I'm not going to play this, but it's one of the biggest games on your television this weekend, so I want to make sure that I talk about it. Florida at Tennessee. Tennessee's a 10.5-point favorite. It's the Volunteers or nothing here. Anthony Richardson, after the Utah game, was floated as a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Since then, he has been so horrible, they aren't even allowing him to pass the ball. They're taking him out of throwing situations. That offense has been morbid since the Utah Miracle in the swamp. Now you're asking Florida to go on the road to Tennessee, rivalry game. Tennessee's got a great offense, Hooker at quarterback. I know they stalled out against Pitt. That's kind of a weird game where things went sideways for both teams. Defensively, I understand Tennessee's kind of struggled, but I do think that they're at least good enough. Like, look, Anthony Richardson has been awful. That offense has been awful. It's not what we saw against Utah. It's what we've seen against Kentucky. It's what we saw when they nearly lost in the swamp to Southern Florida. That's what Florida is. It's not that Utah game. I was on Florida's side on Utah. I was on Kentucky against Florida in week two. And now, like last week, I got told Southern Florida was the side. Florida's not good. Going on the road to a zoo in Tennessee, and I think you really, Knoxville, I think you're really in trouble when it gets to this point. I know the 10.5, that hook scares you off. It's why I'm not playing it, because I feel like there's a chance this game ends up being 30-20 with how bad Tennessee's defense is, but it's still a spot where I believe it's Tennessee or pass. The final non-play of the weekend, Oregon at Wazoo. Oregon, a 6-point favorite on the road in Washington State. Do me a favor, take a look at Bo Nix's splits, home and road. Oregon can't be favored here. This guy goes on the road, he turns into a pumpkin. He was great at Autzen Stadium against BYU. He slaughtered me at Autzen Stadium against BYU. Going on the road to Wazoo, look at his splits. That place is a nut house. He's really going to struggle. I really think it's Wazoo or pass. But again, I'm not getting involved because Wazoo, to me, is one of the worst teams in a bad conference. All right, I got four plays left on the board. I want to start Rutgers versus Iowa. It's in Piscataway. It's in New Jersey. The Iowa's on the road. Rutgers plus 8 currently in a game that has a total at 34. Nevada's one of the worst teams in football. Iowa covering 23.5, barely. That's one of the worst teams in America. I don't think Iowa can score in a morgue. I think you go up against Rutgers. It's Rutgers. It's still a Big Ten team, but it's Rutgers. People are going to be looking at Iowa going, just because they won't allow Rutgers to score, we're going to take the 8. I'm on the other side of that. I really think you get the right side of a touchdown in a game with a total that's 34, not expecting a lot of scoring. I'm going to go blind and take the dog. Rutgers getting 8 points in a game where nobody expects anybody to score. I still don't believe Iowa, but that fraud Spencer Petras can score in a morgue. So I'm going to take the Scarlet Knights plus 8. Arkansas on the road at A&M. A&M just doesn't look right. The App State loss, you looked at a team that wasn't ready. Jimbo Fisher has not been successful. I mean, he's better than Scott Frost, but he has not been successful in his time at A&M. The App State loss feels like it's going to linger a little bit. I know they control their own destiny, but Arkansas is really good, man. You got a smart coach. You got a team that believes they're a bunch of dogs. the Razorbacks, to me, going on the road, you're only getting two. It's a really interesting spot. It's one I'm interested in for sure, and that's one I'm going to play. Arkansas plus two at Texas A&M. Another one I'm going to play is Stanford plus 14 at Washington. Again, Stanford out E.J. Smith, the running back. Probably their best offensive player. But this is an offense that steals from Wake Forest. They like the slow mesh offense. They like to keep the ball back in the backfield, make the read on the defensive end, figure out run-pass option. They do all of it. David Shaw, really smart coach, putting the run-pass options in place. They go multiple backs anyway. I don't think losing E.J. Smith is worth the 2 points to telling you you got here. I'll tell you how I got there. Stanford plus 8.5 at home against USC. That was the closing line. Stanford plus 8.5. So on a neutral field, you figure, okay, Stanford's probably plus 10, plus 10.5 if they're playing USC. So then you see Stanford plus 14 at Washington. You figure, okay, Stanford's probably plus 12.5. They're playing Washington on a neutral field. Are you telling me that Washington is 2 points better against the spread than USC? Because I'll remind you, Stanford should have covered against USC. Two turnovers inside the five-yard line, you can't cap for that. Stanford was the right side of that. Plus 8.5. I think if that game gets played again today, it's plus 8.5 again. To me, Washington getting lined is 2 points better than USC just because, one, they're coming off an enormous win at home with a Big Ten team traveling west. Michael Penix got to eat off of what might be the worst secondary in America. Now you're giving Stanford 2 extra points because the running back's hurt in an offense that runs a slow mesh and already uses multiple backs anyways. Yeah, I'm all over Stanford here. I feel like this line should actually be Stanford plus 10.5. When I'm getting 14, I'm betting it. Two more, Syracuse minus 9 against Virginia. Virginia's very, very bad. And you don't go to that inflated condom in Syracuse, New York, and just beat them. Purdue, I know, got close. That game got nuts in the second half. Syracuse able to pull it out late with a walk-off touchdown. Syracuse also has a kid in the backfield in Sean Tucker who, like, dark horse Heisman candidate. Honestly, he's last year's Kenneth Walker. That's what he is. So Sean Tucker, I look at as an NFL talent in the backfield. Syracuse is better than a lot of people give him credit for. Dino Babers has done a nice job bringing that program back from hell. I like Syracuse laying the 9. I actually think this money coming down from the 10.5 it was at is the wrong side. I would buy this all the way at 9. And final play, this one's going to piss a lot of people off because it lost a couple weeks ago. Air Force minus 24 against Nevada at home. I'm all over Air Force here. Nevada is horrible. Air Force, triple option team, I understand, but Nevada can't stop the run. Nevada really, really struggles to stop the run on the defensive line. You get put in triple option situations, Service Academy, well coached, coming off a road loss, coming home. This is a spot where I look at Air Force, I know it's minus 24, you gotta lay a lot. To me, this looks like a 34-0 type result. So I'm betting Air Force minus 24. I just think there's an edge to be had there. All right, Cap and Jay Hood show Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. I'm Snorling. Take a listen on the Cap and Jay Hood podcast. Anything you miss, Snorling you right there. As always, great to be with you. Let's make some money this weekend.